Invite you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. There's still a few more Bibles on the table if you need one. Marcus asked if I would read this in Portuguese, but I said, no, I can't do that. Hebrews chapter 8. We'll read the chapter together. Again, the preacher here is talking about this idea that Jesus is our high priest. So let's listen carefully to the words of this great chapter, chapter 8 of Hebrews. Now the main point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already priests who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, "See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this day. We are here to worship you. And now I ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us to understand your word. Help me to communicate and our brother and sister to understand what you have to say to your church this morning. We praise you. You are our higher priest. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So everyone know already that I'm from Brazil. So this means that English is my second language. In 2010, I have a privilege with my family to study for 1.5 years, almost 2 years, in the Billy Graham Center in Wheaton College. It's the same department or something like that. And it was a great time, but to go there, I have to take a test, a TOEFL test. So all international students know what means TOEFL test. Was very hard, and in some of questions of this test, you have to read some academic article, and you have to choose what is the main idea there. But there is a problem: is you have to choose one between 5 options. And usually, at least 2, it's so close that it's so hard because it could be both. And it's always difficult. The book of Hebrews has 13 chapters from Hebrews 1 to Hebrews 10 verse 18, the author of Hebrews shows the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Why the author expends 80% of his book showing the supremacy of Christ? Jesus is superior to the angels we saw. Jesus is superior to the prophets. Jesus is superior to Moses. Jesus is from the order of Melchizedek we saw last week. He doesn't have begin, no end. So he is bigger, he is better than Aaron. So now we have to think after 7 chapters, 129 verses. What is the author's main idea? What does the author want to us to keep in our heart? It's a test. Don't worry, we have the answer already. Chapter 8, verse 1. The author of Hebrews, he said, okay, I give you the answer. Verse 1 is a He says in verse 1, now the main point of what we are saying in this is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. Everything he said before was to point Jesus. He is our higher priest. Everything he said was to point Jesus as the superior high priest who mediates a new and a better covenant. This is the main idea of the book. It is the main idea of the chapter 82. In this statement here, we have two truths. The first one, Jesus is the superior high priest. And then we have Jesus mediates a new and better covenant. In chapter 8, the author of Hebrews is working to prove this truth. So let's go. Jesus is superior to high priest from verse 1 to verse 6. He is looking for that. The question is, why Jesus is the superior high priest? Why? So let's go. First, Jesus is the superior high priest because he sat down at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. The other high priests, they went to the presence of God only one time a year. But Jesus is always there. This is why Jesus is a superior high priest. Jesus is sitting in the place of highest honor in heaven. Jesus is at God's right hand. Do you know why that? Because Jesus is there not because he was a high priest, but because he is the Son of God. He is there with God. Jesus is the superior high priest because Jesus not only intercedes to the Father, Jesus governs with the Father. This makes totally difference. Jesus is not only in the presence of God. Jesus is ruling. Jesus is governing this universe. He is a superior high priest because he is not just a priest. He is a king. He is the king of the universe. So you can say with all sure, he is the superior high priest. Third reason. Jesus is superior high priest because he serves in a heaven sanctuary. Verse 2 says, and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set us by the Lord, not by mere human being. This verse is related to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 3 to 6, when it says, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, Just as the building of a house has great honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. By Christ, if it's faithful as the son of God's house. And we are in his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. The tabernacle made by Moses was only a copy, was only one illustration. It's not the real one. The real one was in the heaven. The fourth reason why Jesus is superior to the high priest, the superior high priest, is because Jesus offered a much better sacrifice. Verse 3 says, every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifice. And so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. This was the work of the priest. They offer gifts and sacrifice. Jesus offered his own life. This was the totally different. The priests, what they did in the Old Testament? They killed the animal, they offered the animal for forgiveness of the sins. But Jesus offering himself in his place. Hebrews chapter 7:27 says, unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifice day after day. First for his own sin, and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for the sin once for all, when he offered himself. Jesus is the superior high priest. In the fifth place, Jesus is superior high priest because Jesus was appointed high priest of a new and better covenant. Verse 4. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already priests who offer the gifts prescribed by law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy, a shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern show you on the mountain. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is superior to theirs, as the covenant of which is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promise. Verse 4 explains that if Jesus was on the earth, he could not be a priest because he do not belong to the tribe of Levi. So this is. Only priests from the tribe of Levi could offer sacrifice. So the Old Testament system would not have allowed Jesus to be a priest. Hebrews 7 from 12 to 14 explain this. For when the priesthood is changed, the law must be changed also. He of whom these things are said belong to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah, and in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. And what you have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest not only based of a regulation of to his ancestors, but on the base of the power of an indestructible life. For it is clear, you will preach forever in the order of Melchizedek. Christ was appointed high priest of a new and better system that allowed God's people entry in direct relationship with God. This is why. In verse 5, one more time, we see the author of the Hebrews say that the old sanctuary, the old tabernacle, was just a copy, a shadow. This priest offered sacrifice was a place of worship, but was only an illustration. Was bad? No. God created everything. But was only to show what will come later. Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. It's not that in the past the old system was bad. No, it was God who created everything. But the point, the main idea was, here is just an illustration. I have a lot more for you. And you come when Jesus come to the earth. Verse 6, he concludes this idea. Say that Jesus received a superior ministry because Jesus is mediator of a superior covenant. Verse 6. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is a superior to theirs, as the covenant of what he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant established a better promise. So now, from verse 7 to 13, the author begins to prove his second truth. Jesus mediated a new and better covenant. Remember on the Last Supper, on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup with wine. He invited disciples. He passed to his disciple and he said, "Drink from it. All of you, this is my blood. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Matthew 26, 27, 28. Which those words he was saying exactly. Remember what Moses did. You can see later in Exodus 24, verse 8. With those words, that symbolic action, he borrowed the phrase used by Moses when he took the blood of an animal, he sprinkled it on the people, and he said, "This is the blood of covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all this word." And I believe when Jesus said that around the table with the disciples, was not just words. He really wants to make a connection between the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the New One. He used very similar words. But Moses used the blood of an animal. Jesus used a wine to symbolize his own blood. Moses spoke to the covenant of the law. Jesus was illustrating the new covenant of the grace. Moses spoke God's word, which provide for partial covering of the sins. Because what's happening is, if I ask for the priest to do the sacrifice for me, the next day, the next week, I always should have to do this. Because it was only partial. But Jesus promised the actual remission of the sins of God forever. We don't need anymore. And do you know, sometimes it's hard for us to understand. When you get the Bible said, "God forgive you at all." And we start, sometimes we do not feel that we are forgiven. Sometimes, no, I need to do more. I need to do something. But this is what the Bible says. In Jesus Christ, all was paid. All. Because of Jesus. Because His sacrifice. Look to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7 to 13. We see at least three reasons why they need a new covenant. So why they need a new covenant? First, because the covenant did not accomplish its purpose. Or to say verse 7. For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The days are come, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah." The first covenant did not accomplish his purpose. Something was wrong. But was wrong with God? No. Was wrong with the covenant? No. What was the purpose of the covenant? God wants to walk close with His people. God wants, since the beginning, have a relationship close with His people. But something was not well. The second reason was God gave a new covenant. It's because the people of Israel did not fulfill their part of the covenant. Verse 9 says, "It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turn away from them, declares the Lord." The people of Israel, the people of Israel, he just were not faithful to him. Were not faithful to the covenant. So there was God, because God is love. God needed to do something to bring us back. To bring people back to him. So he had to create a new covenant. A perfect covenant. A covenant that did not depend on me. Don't depend on you, because we are just flesh. So he gave his own son to come and pay the price. So we can live free. We can have a real relationship with him. Because it's not more depend on me. It's not depend on you. Because if it depend on me and depend on you, we always will fail. The third reason is almost is the result of the whole, all mistakes. As a result, God turned from the people, away from the people of Israel. The end of verse said, "And I turn away from them, declared the Lord." I imagine how hard it is, how hard it was to the Lord be far from his people. But God cannot work with sin. God cannot be among sin. So this is why God sent Jesus. Because only in Jesus we can be justified. Only in Jesus we can really have the forgiveness of our sins. It's not what we do. It's what Jesus did. It's what Jesus did. The new covenant came to bring a different relationship between God and His people. The old covenant did not keep people from failure. And because that, God had to turn away from them. So now, the last part from verse 10 to 12, the author lists the promise of the new covenant. So, what this new covenant is so good? Why? Why is it so good? What is the promise? First, the new covenant provides an inward change. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. It's inside out. It's not outside. This is made totally different. It's not to look like you are holy. You are holy because this covenant. Every true Christian know that so many things change when you accept Jesus. I know for some people who was born in a Christian family, sometimes it's difficult to see, to identify this changing. Because I always was in the church, I was always my dad, my mom always teach me, so I always a good boy, a good girl, something like that. But for those who was out of the Christian relationship, when you accept Jesus, you can look at yourself and say, wow. You can see really the difference between the old creature for the new creature in Jesus Christ. You can see. It's not that this is not happening if you was born in the Christian family. No, this happened. But it's more difficult sometimes to see the difference. It's like what I am before Christ and what I am after Christ. So this kind of difference, if you're born in a Christian family, sometimes it's more difficult to understand. But it's true. It's something. There is a different motivation. They want to read the Bible more when you accept Jesus. Do you want to pray more? Do you feel joy when you come in a moment of worship? And when you worship God, you feel the joy. Things that you never have. You feel it's good to come to the church and be among people, your community. You feel happy. I remember, I was a spiritist. When I was in Brazil, okay, and this word spirit is a general, I have to explain the whole thing, but it's only. So I read the books about speak with people who died and hope they have very creepy experience, okay, like, it's not the point here. But what's happened is I went to a camp. And Jesus reached me. He came to me. Was not that I went. He came to me. And he changed my life there. When I arrived at home, and my mom, who is not Christian, and I told my mom, I said, Mom, I born again. Imagine, 20 years old. I born again. She said, what? They brainwash. But after a while, she saw that 20 years old guy who every Friday disappear and come only Sunday, drunk. She's so scared. And she saw his son stay home, read the Bible, obey her more. She started to see the change. She said, I don't know what's happened, but keep going. My wife, when came home and said for her grandmother, said, I believe in Jesus. Her grandmother said, I lost my grandchild. Years later, before her grandmother died, she said, praise be the God of my granddaughter. Do you know what it is? It's not because her. It's not because me. But it's because he who changed your heart inside out. I was not to seem to my mom, oh, now I am a good one. No, because the bad thing still inside you. But it's through the power of the Holy Spirit who help you to live a holy life for His glory. not to gain anything because you have already, but because you have already, you have to read to live well for please Him. So I'm lost now when I go there. Okay, so the new covenant provides inward change. The new covenant provides intimacy with God. I will be their God and they will be my people. When believing in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, born in our heart a new sense that we belong to God. We belong. We feel like it's something strange. I know I belong to God. He is my Father. He is not God like a distant God. He's close. God is no longer seen as a stern judge, but a lovely Father. Doesn't matter which color you are, doesn't matter which clan, what tribe, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you are rich or poor. The truth is, when we enter in this covenant, we become all the same family. Oh, this is amazing! Because if you have a real understanding what is to live under this covenant, is we can live in peace because we are the same family. I know if I ask here, many one have the same experience. Sometimes in my life, I have to travel from one place to another place and stay in somebody's house that I never have met before. And sometimes it's a little bit uncomfortable. You just make contact and say, okay, stay with this family. But you know the amazing thing? When you arrive there, because they are Christians, because they have the same faith. In 5 minutes, you start to feel the power of the unity of the Holy Spirit. And you say, seems like I know you for 10 years, but I just met you. This is the magic to be part of the same family. Because they have the same experience with God that you have here. Because they are under the same grace, the same love, the same mercy. And we are connecting the same body, the body of Jesus Christ. So this is the miracle of belong to the same family. It's great. Third, the new covenant provides knowledge of God. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Two different Greek words are used here for the word know. The first word is the Greek word ginosko. That means come to know personally. It's an ongoing personal relationship. You just go knowing God. The second word here is the word oida, which means perceive, know absolutely. The new covenant brings to us this opportunity, this ability to know God in person, have a relationship to Him, and know Him more and more and more. Without priests, without teachers, this can happen. The point here is not that we won't have need to teachers. The point here is every believer will be able to know God, not just priests or a select group of people. This is the point. If you are in this covenant under the Jesus, your high priest, God will reveal Himself to you. And you can open your Bible and say, wow, I never thought that. It's the work of the Holy Spirit talk to you. Fourth point here. The new covenant provides complete forgiveness from sins. I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. People of the Old Testament had forgiven of sin, but they had an incomplete and temporary forgiveness. They always need to make sacrifice for their sins. In this new covenant, we have a complete, eternal forgiveness of our sins. God will never recall them or use them against His people. Because of Jesus, our high priest, there is no longer any barrier in our relationship. This is amazing. In verse 13, the author finished the chapter with a very simple conclusion. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete is outdated, will soon disappear. Since the Aaronic priesthood was replaced by Melchizedek priesthood of Jesus, there is no longer any need of the law to work its condemning work in a believer life. Romans 8 verse 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is the invitation of the Lord. Maybe you are here and you never ask God to get in this new covenant. The covenant of grace. The covenant of Jesus Christ. Only in Him, our high priest, we can really have peace with God. Only through Jesus, we can really be reconciled with God. Only through Jesus. And He is our high priest. And He is a superior high priest. Because He is in the right hand of God, ruling the universe. He paid for whole price as a son of God. And you don't need to look back for what you made in the past. Because He paid already. Did you know? You don't. In the future, the whole thing, our mistake that we make, is already paid to. But it's not because of that you say, oh, because it's already paid, so let's sin because it's already paid. No. If you have this kind of attitude, you're never born again, really. But the truth is that our life is an eternal fight with the old nature who is still inside us. And even when we fall, we feel embarrassed. We feel sad because you know you make God sad. But you not lose your position or you not lose your salvation. But you make the Holy Spirit and God sad. This is the point. Because Jesus, our high priest, is there interceding for us, ruling for us in the whole universe. And even when Satan go there, oh, look to Andrea, oh, she is a bad girl, how she can do this, you know? And Jesus said, you know, I pay for her sin. I paid. Shut up. I don't want to hear one word from you. Get out. Because it's already paid. This is the Jesus Christ, our high priest, who is the mediator of a better, a new, and a great covenant. Let's pray. Father, thank you very much. Because we know we don't deserve so great grace. And we are here to recognize that we are sinners and we trust in Jesus as our high priest. And we are under this new and better and great covenant. We only say thank you. Help us, Holy Spirit, to live a holy life for your glory, for your glory, for your honor, because only you deserve the worship, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.